Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witnesses, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and wear white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, to be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me."
And it's brilliant to see the children collecting those prizes, isn't it? And gifts and enjoying them. And boys and girls, I really hope that over the next few weeks, you'll either read the books that you've been given, or the grown-up who you live with will help you read the book that you've been given, or maybe read it to you. And maybe you can come back and tell your Sunday school teacher what's in the book. That would be fantastic if you did that in a few weeks' time. I'm sure they'd be really encouraged by that. But it does ask the question for the young people and the grown-ups, why do we run Sunday school at all? Why do we do any of this? So why have we just given the kids books? Just lock that thing in your head, that question in your mind, just for the next few minutes, because we're going to try and answer it. I wonder if you know what I mean if I say that one thing reminds me of another. So let me give you an example. I don't know who's done the flowers this morning, but they are. But can you see the flowers over there? I'm going to do something incredibly risky. Survived. Okay, can you see the flowers? What does that remind you of? What does it make you think of? Anybody? Young or old? What does it make you think of? Yeah, sorry, Edward.
Spring,
it makes you think of spring, that's right. Yeah, Sophie?
Flowers.
Well, it does make you think of flowers because they are flowers. Do you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of a beautiful garden, actually. I just think that is, am I the only one? I think that's really pretty. When you look at that, we see things sometimes that remind us of other things, and it just gets us thinking. Well, a few weeks ago, I was talking to Joey, and Joey was telling me that when he looks at a door and the corner of a door, he often sees one of these, and it reminds him of something. Does anybody tell me what that is? Anybody else? Yeah, Peter. It's a hinge. That's exactly right. That's a hinge. And Joey was telling me that it reminds him of the good news of the Lord Jesus, because everything seems to hang on the hinge. When you open a door, it hangs on the hinge. And it reminded him of the gospel. And there's a bigger hinge. It kind of got me thinking, I wonder what hinges make me think about. I wonder whether I can think of anything from the Bible that uses a hinge to remind me of the good news of the Lord Jesus. Let me show you what I mean, because I think there are some really helpful things here. I wonder if anybody recognizes this hinge. Does anybody know? That's a very big hinge. It's about that long. And the whole weight of a very big gate holds on it. Do you know, Livy, where it is? Do you know where that's from? Do you know where that hinge is from? Anybody else? Anybody? Not the kids. Go on. I mean, Aline. That the gates at the front of our car park, that's exactly right. That's one of the two hinges that hold the gate at our front of our car park. And the really exciting thing about the gate at the front of our car park is if you can imagine for a moment, just think, you turn up on a Sunday morning and you're desperate to hear about the Lord Jesus. And imagine if the gate was closed. What would everyone go? Surely everyone would go, oh. But what would happen if, moving on the hinge, the gate was suddenly opened and you could come in and then you'd be able to come in here and we'd be talking all about Jesus. Wouldn't that be exciting? Correct answer is yes, by the way. Wouldn't that be exciting? Anyone can come in through that gate and think about, hear about the Lord Jesus for themselves. Well, that got me to thinking about what the Lord Jesus says in the Bible about gates and doors. And all hinges, and I thought it'd be really helpful for us to think about this morning. Because as you boys and girls get gifts from Sunday school, and as you learn all about the Lord Jesus in Sunday school, and as you take those gifts home and you read stories that remind you about the Lord Jesus and his love for you in coming to rescue you and me by dying on a cross and rising from the dead, I thought that thinking about gates and doors and hinges would help us think about that this morning. So the first reading that Reuben brought us, Jesus was talking about gates, wasn't he? Do you remember the first reading? What was the first reading that, well, in fact, we're going to bring it up. Luke, if you can bring it up. Jesus is talking to really religious people about knowing and loving God and what he had come to do and what he had come to say. And then he says this to them. Just read it with me for a second. Therefore, Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, there's two pictures there that he says, reminding him of things. Number one, he says, I am the gate. Have a think about that. Jesus doesn't look like a gate, but what do gates do? Gates are things that you can go through to discover new things on the other side. And in that way, he says he's a gate. But then he says this. He talks about sheep, and he's talking about people just like you and me. Put your hand up if you feel like a sheep this morning. Yeah, one or two of the grown-ups are saying, I feel a bit like a sheep. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, do you know, it's not very complimentary to say that we're like sheep, but we really are like sheep. What are sheep like? Have a think for a minute. What are sheep like? Any ideas? Anybody? Yeah, go on, Livy. They wander around. And do you know what they wander? Do you know where they go when they wander around? They follow one another. We're like sheep because we often follow one another. We follow what other people are doing. But you said they wander around. Do you know what? Sheep. We're like sheep because we often do things without thinking about it. We're like sheep because the truth is, we sometimes have to be pushed and chased to go in the right direction. We know vaguely the right way to go, but actually it's quite helpful to have a sheepdog going woof behind us, telling us, go that way. And we're like sheep because we really can't cope on our own. Even if we think we can, sooner or later we're going to come to realize that we really need a shepherd, someone to guide and help us. Now, had we kept on reading in John chapter 10, we would have found some really brilliant news. We would have found that Jesus says he is the good shepherd. In fact, we sung a song a few minutes ago, didn't we? Where we sang, the Lord's my shepherd. And as we trust him, we find that he will guide and help us. But not only is the good shepherd, when it comes to knowing God, he says, just isolate verse 9 for me, can you please, Luke? He says, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. In other words, whoever wants to know God, if they come to know God from me, will really know God. I've been trying to think what a sheep gate might look like, and I think it might look a bit like this. Doesn't that look beautiful? It's a gate. You can't dare try to get over it because it's pointy and spiky and it'll hurt you. But if you go through the gate, it's a beautiful field beyond, and it's glorious, and there's plenty to eat. And doesn't that look lovely? Don't you think that's a lovely looking gate? When it comes to knowing God through our lives and being sure of knowing him when we die one day, we can only do that by trusting in Jesus and what he says and what he's done by dying for us on a cross and rising again from the dead. He's taken the punishment for our sin. He's proved it's worked. And the truth is, any alternative ideas or religions or... What does Jesus say that any other ideas or religions are like? Did you notice? He says they're like thieves and robbers. They don't actually help you know God. They just take all your stuff and they won't really help you. But he is like a lovely gate. As you go through him to know God, so you find that you really can know God. You really can be rescued forever and ever as you trust him and what he said and done. We can only know God and get to know God through Jesus. He is the gate for sheep like you and me. And it all hangs on the gospel hinge of what he's done for us. A small message with such an important purpose of making it possible for you and me to be saved. That's how you become a Christian, trusting Jesus. He's like a gate to get you to know God. I'm sure many of us will know that already. But that's what made me think, well, what about someone who is already a Christian, who's already said, please, Lord, save me, a sinner. Thank you, Jesus died for me. Please, will you save me? What if you're already a Christian? Is there any message there for you and me if you're already a Christian? I hope everybody has trusted him as their Savior. Well, once someone is a Christian, that is, once they've admitted they're a sinner that needs to be forgiven and asked Jesus to save them, once they've entered to knowing God through the gate that is the Lord Jesus. Well, it doesn't stop there. It reminded me of another place, the other place you might find a hinge. And that's in the second reading that Edward brought us this morning. And that reading talked a lot, but the main thing it talked about was Jesus knocking on the door. Can we bring up the verse? Now, can we all read this one together out loud? Because this is a verse I want us all to remember. You ready? It says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Now, there are all kinds of doors in the world, aren't there? I've got some pictures of some doors that are going to come up. You see there? Look at all those different doors. Anybody got a front door in their house that looks a bit like that? Any of your front doors look a bit like that? No? No. I think my front door's probably, we haven't got the markings and stuff, but probably something like the middle one down there. Anybody else got one? Yeah, your doors. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what your front door looks like. Which one would it be, Joey? The bottom, but it's this one on the right here. Yeah, I guess it's probably, I'm trying to remember your front door. Probably right. Anyone else? Yeah. No? Okay, well, there's all kinds of doors in the world. Think about all the doors that you might knock at. He is saying that he's knocking at a door. Now, to understand what he's saying, as we look at all those different doors he might knock at, we really need to stop and think about who he is and what he's saying. It's Jesus speaking. Jesus is God the Son, the King of kings and Lord of lords. If we turned over to chapter 1 of Revelation, then of all the things that he would remind us of, there's lots of pictures about how amazing descriptions of what Jesus is like. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's God the Son of God. He's God made flesh. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And he's writing to Christians and he says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Now, the Christians he's speaking to in a church in a place called Laodicea, and they were Christians. They were people that had gone through the gate and asked him to rescue them, to be their savior. They were Christians. But the truth is, they didn't really care much beyond that. They thought about making sure they were going to heaven when they died, but they hadn't thought more than that. He says they were lukewarm. What does he mean that they're lukewarm? Well, I want you to imagine it's a really freezing cold day outside. Remember back to those days of winter? The snow we had a month ago? When you come into your house, what does your house feel like when you come in on a freezing cold day where it's icy outside? If your central heating's on, what does your house feel like? One of the boys and girls? What does your house feel like? Yeah? Really warm. In fact, you know, your house might be kind of medium warm because the central heating's on. But when you've been freezing cold outside, if you come in, your house will feel hot. It's not really hot, but compared to outside, it feels really hot. Or imagine what it's going to be like a few weeks from now in those lovely days of summer. You go to the fridge, you get a drink from the fridge. And as you drink from the fridge, what does it feel like? What does the drink feel like? Go on, Edward. Really freezing cold, to the extent that you get, as you drink it, you get brain freeze. Have you ever had brain freeze? Am I the only one that's had brain freeze? Maybe my brain's frozen all the time, I don't know. But you know what I mean? My brain freeze, when you drink it, you go, ooh. I had a wonderful picture on the internet the other day of a cat that had eaten some ice cream. And as he licked the ice cream, the cat had brain freeze, and you watched his eyes just gel over and go, fantastic. I'm sure he recovered. No animal was hurt in the making of that advert. But still, you know what it means? You know what it's like? It's not that it's freezing cold. It's just that compared to how hot it is outside, your drink feels cold. We like to compare how warm or hot we are compared to things around. We do that kind of comparison a lot. And that's what was going on in Laodicea. The people who had trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord in the church in Laodicea were looking around them and saying, well, compared to all those people around us that aren't Christians, we're taking Jesus quite seriously. We go to church every week. We listen to what we're taught. We sing some hymns. We kind of got ourselves sorted. We know we're going to heaven. We think we're quite warm towards him. We may not be as hot as people like Paul or John or some of the other apostles we've heard about, but we think we've got it about right. We're not cold toward Jesus. We may not be very hot towards Jesus either, but Jesus says, no, you're not hot and you're not cold. You're just lukewarm. And you're comparing yourself, says Jesus, to the wrong thing. It might not sound very serious, but have you ever had lukewarm water? Imagine for a moment that this glass of water, which is lovely and cold, by the way, imagine what it would be like if I put it to my lips and it was kind of lukewarm. Have you ever had slightly lukewarm water? What does it make you want to do? Ugh, is what it makes you want to do. It's just kind of, ugh, that's not very nice. And you'd go back to the tap and you'd run it a bit more, wouldn't you, till it was cold. Well, Jesus says, do you know, because you're lukewarm, I want to spit you out. I'm really sick of it. I wish you were either hot or either cold, but you're not. You're kind of just yuck. They thought they were doing really well, living their lives with everything about Jesus all sorted. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I go to church fairly regularly. That'll do. I can get on with my own thing now. That'll be fine. But they weren't taking him seriously. They were living their lives for themselves. He said they didn't realize how blind they were, how poor they were, and how naked they were. And it's not that they weren't wearing any clothes. It's just that they, in other words, that they couldn't be bothered about Jesus. And he said that if they got used to treating him as if he wasn't important, just didn't think about it, that was serious. He said they needed to change that, put their faith in him, faith that the Bible says is more precious than gold. In fact, he says, knowing him really through their lives and on forever in heaven is so important that the gospel hinge comes into play. What does the gospel hinge tell us is coming? There's a door coming. And here he is, he says, he's standing at the door. Now listen. He's knocking. He says he's standing at the door and knocking. Can you pull up the next verse for me? Read it again. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. When you knock on a door like this, what are you hoping will happen? Yeah, someone, yeah, Joey? You're hoping someone will come and open the door to you, aren't you? That's what you're hoping. Jesus says, I'm standing at the door to your life. I know you love me and I love you too, he says. I'm standing at the door to your life. I'm standing at the door, show the next slide, can you? I'm standing at the door to your heart. I don't know, it's not showing up very well. Can you see? There's a picture of a heart and there's a door right in the middle of it. Jesus is saying to the Christians here, I'm standing at the door to your heart, to your life. I'm knocking on the door for you to open the door for me to come in. Let me read the whole verse to you. So be earnest and repent. Turn around. Stop living as if I'm not important. Here I am, says Jesus. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person and they will be with me. Now, when you go into someone's house, imagine I was standing at the door here. If it opened, it would be quite exciting because through there is the boiler room. But there we are. Pretend for a moment that it was the door to someone's house. And they said to me, hey, Spence, come in, come in, come in. Take a seat. I've got some food. Make yourself at home. We're going to eat together. It's lovely when that happens, isn't it? How would I feel? How would I feel if I went in? What's the word I'm looking for? I would feel really, really welcome. If someone came into your house and the grown-up that you live with said, how nice to see you, come in, take a seat, sit down, I'll put the kettle on, I'll make a cup of tea, let's have some food together. How do you think that person would feel? Go on, Lexi. Really pleased, they'd feel really welcome. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, you're not taking me seriously. You're lukewarm. You trust me as Savior, but you're not trusting me as Lord. Do you know, I'm standing at the door to your life, at the door to your heart, and I'm knocking on the door, and I'm saying, let me in, because I want to come in and be welcome with you. Do you know, boys and girls and grown-ups as well, it's a really simple illustration using Joey's gospel hinge, but it works really well, doesn't it? If you are a Christian this morning who has gone through the gate for the sheep, if you have trusted in Jesus, then there is a real opportunity for you and me to know him really well. And he is really eager to do that. When he says, I'm standing at the door to your to the church in Laodicea, what's he saying? He's saying, I'm eager to know you well. I'm eager to make my life at home with you, to be at home in your heart, so he can come in and eat, which is what you do when you make friends, and make himself at home in your life. Why do we do Sunday school? Why do we give you boys and girls books and prizes to read all about Jesus? I'll tell you why. Because we desperately want you to know Jesus really well. For him to be at home in your hearts and in your lives, so that as you grow up through life, And as the challenges of our broken world hit you, you can trust him and know him and see him at work. We don't do regular meetings as a church for the sake of meetings. That's just silly. Why would we bother? It's too much effort. The reason we meet every week as a church, and the reason we run Sunday school, the reason we give books to these boys and girls, the reason we have kids club and home groups and prayer meetings and Bible studies and encourage everyone to read their Bible every day and speak to God daily in prayer is not for the sake of it, but so that all of us can come to know him as Savior by going through that sheep gate and then enjoy his friendship and lordship in our lives all the time. He'll change us to be more the people we should be, and we can trust him as we go through life. We have a very real opportunity of him making himself at home in our lives. Don't you want him to do that? Wouldn't you like Jesus to be at home in your heart? I stand at the door and knock. Won't you open the door and invite him in and ask him to make himself at home with you in your life? How about doing that? How about asking him to make himself at home and doing all that you can in your life and with your life? And what's more important to you and where you go and what you do and the choices you make to make him feel really comfortable? Well, I pray that we will all do that. Boys and girls, read the books, because they'll help you get to know Jesus better. And that's brilliant. Grown-ups, read the book, because it'll help you get to know Jesus better. And that's really brilliant. Well, I pray we all will.